page 145, in terms of the additional credit credit report, what is happening to the debt? What is happening to the debt is that the debt has gone down tremendously, and also in the case where the debtors are not able to pay on time, they've arranged repayments with the departments, and in some cases we've got two debtors that are based in the Free State. We have asked that we recapitalize their debts, and we are looking at that with the Department of Agriculture in Free State. Then there was a question that was raised by Honorable Nyalunga on 185 on the 17 million, the other operating expenditure. I want to refer the member to page 186, which gives the breakdown of the 17 million. But in the on the 13 million that is on there, we have issues of stationery. We also have teaching and support materials, and then there's materials and supplies. I think from the finance point of view, those were the questions that I've taken note of. Thank you very much, Chair.
Peter?
Chair, I did not answer the question on the status of all the details because you have given us a date to provide the comprehensive report, and I believe we should wait for that time because we're going to appear before the committee and provide a full presentation on all the diseases.
Are we fine with that response, members? Any further questions? Are we done? Going once? The one quick one, Minister, you did say something about it, which I thought perhaps as a review of performance of past financial year. Perhaps the department owes the Committee of Parliament an understanding of the Agri-BE Fund. Success stories?
Thank you, Chairperson. The Agri-BE Fund, just like the Poverty Relief Fund, and there's another, Ilimaletsema and Mafisa, they were all administered by the Land Bank. And just like with the Mafisa Fund, it was our money that went to the Land Bank, and the Land Bank made it extremely difficult for us to spend that money. I think there's some money there that was sitting there for 10 years, like the Poverty Relief Fund. And last year, for the first time in 10 years, we were able to spend some of that money, not even all of that money, only some of that money. The Mafisa money, there's also still some that's there for a very long time. The problem with the Mafisa money is that these are loans. And with the recapitalization funds of land reform, black farmers do no longer want loans. They want this recap money. And the recap money of that is a grant. And besides the recap money, they also get the, there's another grant they get. It's the after the land restitution. There's a settlement grant. But there's another number of grants which are much bigger than the cash grant. Now, the land reform, the Department of Rural Development and Land Reform, their grants actually made our money, I don't want to say redundant, but looked like spaza shop money. It was just a spaza shop. And even with our Agri-BE fund, we realized that with their recapitalization program and what they call this equity scheme, what we wanted to do through Agri-BE is actually what they did with equity scheme. So we came with our 5 million, 10 million, and they could come with the equity schemes with 20 million, 30 million, 50 million. No, rural development. So rural development's equity schemes were 50 million, 20 million, 30 million, and we wanted to do an Agri-BE fund of 10 million, 5 million, 4 million. And even getting the 10 million, 5 million, 4 million out of land bank was a difficult and tough task. For the first 5 years that I've been there, Land Bank hasn't approved a single Agri-BEE project. Yeah, I am CFO. Not a single Agri-BEE project was approved. Every time we didn't have this and we didn't have that, and we needed this, and we didn't conform to this criteria, and we didn't conform to that criteria. So much so that now I am calling in. Monday, I called in my DG, I called in Land Bank, I called in Treasury to say, but tell me, give me the reasons why this money can't be approved. Let us at least approve it before the end of this year or before the end of our term of office. How do we leave money that has been lying there for 10 years and we say we've been there for 5 years, so we are leaving it to another minister? It is just... Yes. So Treasury gives us one reason how the money must be spent. We get to Land Bank, Land Bank gives us other reasons how this money must be spent. And so the goalposts are shifted and moved. Mr. Manya had given up. Here is Mr. Ntombela, one full year, given up. For Joe, I think I was only being able to spend 5 million. And in last year, we were able to spend some money for the planting. And in
but what are the criteria?
Here are the experts. I've given up.
You see, last time we inquired on this Agri-BE fund, we were told that there was only one project that was supported. I'm raising it because I've had a few people who came through who were looking for support on this Agri-BE fund. And the reasoning for declining were very, very vague.
Chairperson, I can even say to you, you gave me projects. I gave it to the Agri-BE Fund at the Land Bank. You know, it is so frustrating. It seems as if you as a minister, you've got now this magic wand where you decide who gets and who doesn't get. It is so embarrassing and so humiliating when it is a land bank who decides with Treasury. You ask them, but is it more information you need? No. It's this is not right, that is not right, this is not right, that is not right. And yes, all my officials can ask all of them.
Or the land bank would approve Chairperson. But then they would say, they came to the meeting the other day and they said to us, but we only here as observers, we do not have the power to make decisions. Treasury makes the decisions and then we will act. And then I challenged them and said, but you are a Schedule 2 entity, which means, and because they have their board, they have a scheduled two entity has a fair degree of autonomy. Why are you such? I said they should not be playing games in the meeting, because and then there were also examples where there was money was approved for a particular project. Land Bank said our condition is that, but it was for emerging farmers, that they should pay back after 3 years because they understand the industry. People are not profitable after 1 year. Then they took it to Treasury for approval, and Treasury said, no, they should start paying after a year. And, of course, so the conditions also become such that people don't want to accept it.
What we are saying, Chairperson, is for smallholder farmers, it is much easier, and I will vouch to say better, to get money from rural development than to get money from agriculture. And the CAF money that we give people, it's a little 10,000 a year, it's a little 20,000 a year. It is even so little that people are not even interested in it anymore. That's how bad it is.
Members, are we fine? Are we concluded? I tell you that a number of other questions whose responses shall be by or in writing. Are we fine?
Yeah.
If we can get a sense also, because some of these decisions, we take them and then at the end, you know, a week goes past and a month goes past and so on. If we can get some of those responses by end of next week, I'm sure it's information that we have. Among others, it is a question related to the DG and the packages of those that were expelled. I can't remember the others.
Can I just do a quick round up?
Uh-huh.
We're going to give back to. Indeed, it's the packages that were paid to the former DGs. There was a question on the 50 million and the 5 million. It has been responded to, so we will leave it out. We will give you a report on the mechanization units where they are.
Mr. Mania, Chairperson. The packages that were paid to the previous DGs were worked out by Public Service and Administration. We had very little say in how those packages were worked out. The state law advisors, they sat, Mr. Ntombela, remember?
Mm-hmm.
The state law advisors sat with Public Service and Administration, and they worked out and they gave us the documents, and that is how it was dealt with. I think Mr. Ntombela knows more than me how it was done.
And just to add on
that. We're not so much on how it was done, more on how much was the package, whether it came from public service or it is within the department. It's information, I would imagine, that is out there. All what we're keen on is that information brought to Committee of Parliament.
Yeah, we've responded to that question before, and if there's a need to again submit, we can. And to add what Minister said, it's worked out according to a prescribed formula that is issued by DPSA. You know, so it depending on the number of years that are still outstanding on the fixed term contract, on a sliding scale, 80%, 60%, and so on and so on.
Okay.
But we'll provide that information.
Thanks. Ms. May?
Chair, I don't know if you still want us to give you on the agreement signed in Africa. Do you? I thought we. Yeah. I believe those are the.
Only. Thank you. Members, Mamanyarongo, you still have an issue?
Chair, as long as you said they will respond in writing, they must also include the issue of other non-pensionable allowance I've got a lot of money. I just want to check what are those things. Thank you.
Mr. Sotomayor?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I think we had done our bit on this one. We have on the 30th of October. We have a whole update on diseases, animal diseases that are there. On the 5th of November, we have a briefing on the Agri-BE Charter and also Agri-BE Fund. So a number of those shall be unpacked at that point. Thanks for that. And then we shall move straight now to the Marine Living Resource Fund.
Thank you, Chairperson, the DG, and the team from Fisheries Control.
Chairperson members, the same colleague who presented the amendments to the Marine Living Resources Amendment Bill, Dennis Fredericks, will do the presentation on the Marine Living Resources Fund annual report. The acting DDG for that division is still abroad, and he is the acting DDG right now.
Chairperson, before Mr. Fredericks starts, I've also asked that you allow me to be excused. I left Pretoria, and I think it's going to be quite late to go back now, but I'd like to be back quite early tomorrow morning. Thank you, Jim. With your permission, please.
Ms. Dennis?
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson, members, Minister, DG, and colleagues. It's a bit late, but with your guidance, I will try to take us through the presentation, but where you believe it's maybe prudent for me to skip some of the slides, then I would like to request that if Jason may give me such indication. We should start off by saying that the Marine Resources Fund finances the operations of the branch fisheries within the Department of Agriculture, Forestry and Fisheries. Now, the branch is primarily responsible for managing the development, management, monitoring, and sustainable uses of marine resources, and also to protect the integrity and the quality of the marine ecosystem, and to ensure that the growth of the aquaculture sector as well. Now, to that extent, we cover the operational cost of the four chief directors that we have, all the operational and administrative costs, of also a number of the support components. Now we have four chief directors, and I just want to give you just a brief overview of the first one. Aquaculture and Economic Development is responsible for the promotion of the growth of the aquaculture sector, and we do that by providing public support and also act as an integrated platform for the management of aquaculture for the country. The chief directors also facilitate the development of alternative livelihoods for coastal communities and also are responsible for the management of the 12 proclaimed fishing harbors. Then we have our fisheries research and development chief directors, which are responsible for the promotion of sustainable development of fisheries resources and ecosystems, and they do that by way of conducting and supporting appropriate research. Then we have the third chief directorate, which is the Marine Resource Management, which is responsible for safe, sustainable use and equitable and orderly access to marine resources through improved management and regulation. This is one of the critical components because it's directly involved with the lives of people on a day-to-day basis. Then we have the Monitoring, Control and Surveillance Chief Directorate, which must ensure the protection and promotion of sustainable use of marine resources And we do it by way of intensifying the enforcement and compliance efforts. Now, as I've mentioned, we also cover the operational costs and administrative costs of the Chief Director Fishery Support Operations. Then we also the Chief Director of Financial Management and the support components of communications, human resources, information technology, legal services, international relations, stakeholder relations, and customer services. As you can pick up, there's quite a lot of support systems that need to be supported and provided for in terms of monetary support. And it's always very trying to cover all these costs and operations. And maybe want to start off by saying, did we actually achieve something with the money that was allocated to us, and what were the challenges in doing so? I think one of the achievements that one can say that we have achieved in this financial year was that we had been able to get the small-scale fisheries policy through Cabinet, and this has been after 5 years of public consultation. And the policy gives formal recognition and legal protection to a previously neglected and vulnerable sector of society, notably the small-scale fisheries sector of our country. Now, we try to provide a dispensation that would contribute to efforts to eradicate poverty, ensure food security, and promote equity, while we also try to promote the sustainability of marine resources. There's always this balancing act that we need to work towards, that we see that we can get optimal utilization, but also at the same time ensure that we don't neglect the sustainability of the resources and make sure that we promote and take care of that particular part. Now, we have now finalized a small-scale fisheries policy, and we will commence with implementation in this financial year. In the aquaculture sphere, we have finalized the Aquaculture Development Enhancement Program in collaboration with DTI, and we also have developed an incentive scheme which is designed to attract investment in aquaculture and broaden participation and improve competitiveness of the aquaculture sector. This is a major milestone, and we are happy that DTI has come to the table and to assist us in achieving this one. There were some other achievements. About 1,343 jobs were created through the implementation of 11 projects under the Working for Fisheries program, which is a sub-program of the National Extended Public Works Program. Now, some examples of what is included under these projects is the Western Cape Marine Anti-Poaching Project, Fishing Harbour Facilities Management, Three Catch Data Monitors Projects in Cape in Cape Inn, Eastern Cape and Western Cape, the Doornbuy Fish Farm, the development of fish processing facilities in Cedarburg and other parts of the Western Cape, and the development of of harbour facilities in Port Nolloth and in Honeklerbay. In Port Nolloth, we're also busy with assisting with them with the refurbishment of a fish processing facility, which will greatly assist the small-scale fishers in that part of our country. Some of the further achievements is the Marine Stewardship Council. We have managed to get successful through the annual surveillance, and we are now well on track to ensure when we have the next surveillance coming up in 2014, that we will be able to pass it as well. We have taken note of the issues that were raised in terms of what is required to get a successful MSC certification, and we believe that we will be able to achieve that come 2014. We have our audit committee has been working with our internal audit committee, and they are satisfied that we are operating functionally and effectively, and that we have addressed the risk that was pertinent to the entity in its audits. Now, I must say that the audit committee has been assisting us greatly, especially in the light of the issues raised by the AG, that we are sure that we can address it and deal with those issues successfully. And finally, one would say we have this almost fifth year of unqualified audit reports from the AG. And although there were some findings, but we are happy with the fact that we have an unqualified audit report. Now, we had some achievements, but there were also some challenges, and one of the challenges, as you may well be aware, is the status of our fleet of a certain patrol vessels. We have two vessels on the water now, and the research vessel, we are working hard to get it to sea. And there are some challenges, and as you may have become aware yesterday through the discussion with the AG, there are several investigations underway with regard to the vessels. But notwithstanding the challenges, we were able to have essential stock surveys, and all the TSCs that were required to be set and TAEs were set, and fisheries are able, or different fisheries sectors are able to continue. Because we've been able to do what was required in order to set those TACs and TAEs. Poaching remains a big problem. We have decided for this particular financial year that we're going to step up as much as we can with resources available to curb poaching, and we've been quite successful over the past couple of months, and we hope to build on those successes. But poaching is it's a problem, especially within the urban resources and in West Coast Rockhopster, but we also believe with a new small-scale policy that we will implement, we will be able to get the communities on our side to assist with dealing with the poaching, especially within the lobster and abalone sectors. And finally, as with many government departments, we have capacity constraints in the sense that we have limited for human, financial, and infrastructure resources. But we've tried to do whatever we can to use what is available to the best of our abilities and to achieve the outputs as required from us. I must also say with the limited financial capacity and human capacity and infrastructure, we've kept the fishing industry going. We were able to deliver on that particular score. We also try to improve the lives of the ordinary fisher folks, especially the small-scale fishers. And we've tried as much as we can to assist. And we hope with the implementation of the small-scale policy, we will improve on that. We have some performance information, which is covered from page 25 to 42 in our report. We have established three fish farms in Koffiefontein and Springfontein and Betuli. One Dasikop pilot project is completed to 90% in Hamburg. We have one producer organization established and two aquaculture management programs completed. And we've revitalized two harbors as we've envisaged. Some more performance information. We have approved recovery plans for abalone, hake, West Coast rock lobster, and lionfish. And in abalone, the TSC for 2012-2013 season remained the same as for the previous season at 150 tons. The hake was improved at 156.009 tons, which was an increase of about 7.883% on the previous season. West Coast Rockhopster TSC was set at 2426 tons, which was the same as for the previous season. The Lionfish TAE was approved at 455 ride holders and 3,182 crew, which was the same as for the previous fishing season. In terms of our compliance and enforcement efforts, we have achieved the following in spite of three challenges. We had about 940 vessel landings inspected in the five key fisheries. We had some sea-based inspections of vessels in five priority fishery areas. In Hake, 154, Pelagic, 44, Squid, 183, Lionfish, 154, and Rock Lobster, 140. There were about 21,942 fishing vessel observations completed through our VMS system, which is our vessel monitoring system based at our offices in Cape Town. There was about 79 land and air border inspections conducted. And then we inspected 232 land-based fish processing establishments. We issued about notices to some of these who were not compliant. And we've also inspected about 44 sea-based fish processing establishments. Those are the vessels that have fish factories on board, and they were all inspected as well. And then we've investigated about 556 ride holders in this part here. There's basically just a statement of our financial performance. I just want to say there was a surplus of 4,219,000, and we have request permission from Treasury to roll over that surplus. Now, see, I just want to get your indication, should I go through the next 21 performance tables as per the annual report, which is quite a lot of information. If you want me, I can do that. I would just like to get in the case of my computer. Now I have to get off my glasses and read from... I will read from the book. It's the same as in the book, so I will just read from here. Now, the first sub-program is aquaculture and economic development. And the indicator is the number of fish farms revitalized and established. And the baseline was two projects that were implemented, and the third project was canceled because of non-compliance. Our target for 2012-2013 was 5 fish farms, and we managed to establish 3 of them in Harib, namely, now I've got difficulty to pronounce this name, Quatsamesing project in Koffiefontein, Springfontein in the Lepoy project in Betuli. And there was a problem with the one which was 90% completed, and the technical assessment report on the Saneng aquaculture farm completed, but no further progress due to financial constraints. So with the reason for us not achieving the 5 farms is as set out in the reason for variance, basically delays experienced due to the failure of the contractors to meet deadlines, and the other one was the farm was not constructed due to financial limitations.
Do we have the
Okay. I've just been informed my colleague, maybe I should read from the report. It's much easier. I was not reading from the the annual report, but it's actually read from this presentation.
Oh, yeah.
So it's easy for you to follow. Let me do that then. I think let me go back to page 16 on the presentation then. So there we talk about the number of aquaculture development zones revitalized and established. And the target was 1 aquaculture development zone, and we were not able to meet that target, and the reason for that was although the existing Eberlin Harp in Ermalo was identified as a potential ADZ, and the process initiated in collaboration with the Western Cape activity province, the activity was placed on hold due to a special development framework and growth development plan undertaken by the Overstrand municipality, and we weren't able to get it off the ground because of that special development plan not being finalized. Then the next one was we were supposed to have 1 hatchery, and unfortunately we were not able to meet that target as well. There were delays and challenges experienced to acquire land from the Department of Public Works, and as a result the DG approved a decision that the Cape Agulhas municipality be appointed to run this project as they have made land available for the establishment of the hatchery. We continue with the aquaculture and economic development program. We were supposed to have 1 smallholder producer association, and we have managed to succeed in doing that. We have established the Eblen Producers Association of South Africa, and it was recognized by the minister and gazetted as such. Then the target was to have 1 status report on the potential of inland fisheries. We have completed the study and approved status report, and the downside is that the report was not approved due to legislative gaps. We have identified with regard to the management and the development of inland fisheries. Now, as you all know, inland fisheries, we still need to have the legislative framework developed finally, because this is not under our legislative mandate as such, and we need to work on that particular gap in terms of legislation. Then we move to the still with aquaculture and economic development, slide number 19. The target was 3 fish processing facilities, and the actual was that we signed agreements with 3 implementers for the FPEs, namely the Claremont Fishers and Victims Vereniging. We completed the planning phase of the FPE in Claremont, and we've been ready to move into phase 2 of the project. The delay there is that the allocation of land from the municipality was not finalized, and we still have to complete that particular part of the project. Then the Cedarburg District Municipality also completed the planning phase and awaiting approval of revised budget from the fund to continue with phase 2. There has also been a problem with the site, that the site needs to require construction from the scratch, and therefore we need more than what was initially budgeted for, namely the $5 million. So there's increased funding required before we can proceed with that particular project. Then the Port Nolloth facility has completed the planning phase, and it started with the refurbishment of the existing factory. Again, there's a problem with this particular project. It was delayed because of supply chain processes in the district municipality in Namakwa. The project is actually on its way, and the activities will be finalized during the 2013-2014 financial year. So all in all, we've started with all the processes. It's in progress. It's not, unfortunately, not finalized because of challenges that we have experienced on the way finalizing these projects and setting up the processing facilities. Then, still under aquaculture and economic development, page 21, we were supposed to have 1,000 Working for Fisheries program jobs created, and we actually succeeded in creating 1,343 jobs, and for that we have implemented 11 projects under the Working for Fisheries program. The next target was 2 fishing harbors, and the number of harbors projects were implemented, and the following 2 harbor projects were implemented in Hans Bay and also in Lambers Bay. So we have achieved that particular target then. Then the last project under this particular program, we were supposed to put up 1 aquaculture management program, and 2 programs were completed, namely the development of the environmental integrity framework for marine aquaculture and the fin fish monitoring program. So we actually succeeded in achieving that particular target. The next program is the sub-program is the fisheries research and development sub-program.
And those projects are many, as we...
Yeah, that's why I've asked you. It's quite a lot of them.
I'm the one who's chairing the meeting, not you. Thank you. Now, the program, they go on and on and on, members. I just am seeking your indulgence on this one, whether we continue or we perhaps read on our own to an extent that the earlier points raised, they would form part of the gist of what is contained in the report. Granted, these projects are equally very important because as we do our oversight work, we should be in a position to say to ourselves, but there was such a report given in the annual report, whether or not Ikona, and wherever it would be, to an extent that we are also able to get a sense as to the rationale behind such an establishment, wherever it shall have been established, so to speak. Now, I don't know what members, you know, have. I quickly ran down this many other pages. The issue really here is that you have targets that are met and targets that have not been met on a whole variety of areas of interest, whether it is to do with the research or the establishment of any such projects, small-scale fisheries policy implementation. There was such a process that we are all aware of, and the report goes on and on. I stand guided by members.
Chairperson, I think I would want to go with you on the fact that maybe we need not to go through these tables, but for just one reason, that maybe it will assist us to read and know about them, and maybe in future to have an opportunity to go on oversight to see some of these, because there seem to be many, but there are only a few that we are quite aware of. The one that we were able to go to as the committee. And maybe further, not trying to take over from the chairperson, and maybe further, if one then may be able to ask a few questions on what has been presented to us. Chairperson, I was very much interested in knowing when the acting DG pointed out the issue of the Harib Dam project. The understanding, chairperson, there was that the whole building or the whole structure that is there was not meant for our local fish to be bred or to be brought up in those dams or those tanks. And if one may ask, chairperson, what does the department have for the future of that project? Are they going to maybe continue bringing in this foreign fish into that project, so that we could maybe sort of, as the beneficiaries would be in a position to benefit out of it, and look at the effects of the environment, the type of fish that will be brought in there if it's imported from somewhere else, what effects will they have on our environment? That was my first question, chairperson. And secondly, I was interested in knowing exactly about the issue of the vessels. Seemingly, the SDDG pointed out on that only two that he has mentioned that are in the water as we speak. If one may sort of inquire whether the two that are currently in the water, is it one for the researchers and one for patrol, or they are only in there for one field, so to say? That's those are my questions. Thank you.
Any further questions? Whilst the members are still thinking, I was just going through the report of the Auditor General. On page 15 of the report itself, the material underspending of the budget, I guess this speaks directly to the vessels as well, and the state of which they are either there or not there. A sum of 61%, the figure is given there, 193 million, to round it up, 194 million rand, shall have been shall have been underspent. As a result of this, the entity shall not have been able to achieve its intended objectives. There it is mentioned conducting deep-sea research which promotes sustainable development. There was talk about some private sector companies having volunteered their boats to assist the department. Whether or not that falls outside of that. And at the same time, the company Smith Amanda, to an extent that you shall have heard a report that was investigating Smith Amanda. I'm not too sure whether it is official report that was done by Ensign Young and published accordingly, which among others speaks to some of the issues within the department as they pertain to these vessels and the operations. And perhaps I guess the question there is, what is the status of that report that has been published or that has been produced by Anson Young? For now. Maybe the last point on the Office of the Auditor General's report. On page 25, I'm not too sure whether we are talking about the same thing here or not. I read 18, 19, 20, literally to be the same thing to me. And I don't understand that. Page 18, rather 16, sorry. There on 18, it talks about a total of 100% of the reported objectives are not consistent with the objectives as the approved annual performance plan. It goes down, the figures change in terms of percentage, 43%, 77%. And then, of course, having not looked at the Treasury regulation, 30.1.3G consistently as you go down. It talks about, I'm not sure whether this is a repetition or it's a typo or it is referring to some specifics. Maybe there are references attached to this which you might wish to assist us on. Whilst you are still organizing yourselves, when talking about poaching, there was an issue raised about the military veterans and their program or project of assisting. If you can also give us a briefing on that one. The last one, again, still on poaching. This committee had raised a matter of the seals. I guess this could be a matter that you bring to us, not now, maybe later, but if you have any feedback to give us, that would be appreciated. The issue there is that you have the seals that are doing a great deal of damage for fishing stock, whilst your research shall be indicating something else about availability or otherwise of fishing stock. The role that seals play in really doing a serious damage, you know, to over and above what you hear about the actual poachers who walk with 2 feet, and then the poachers themselves, you know, they are playing their own role. Okay, thanks, Mr. Dunn.
Thank you, Chairperson. With regard to the Gharib project, we after our last discussion with the portfolio committee, we had established that there is now a plan in place to utilize the facility in an appropriate manner. And they are busy finalizing that particular plan to use the center not only for tilapia but for other species as well. So, but that plan is still in progress. It still needs to be finalized. But we've noted the comments expressed by the portfolio committee on that particular issue, and I think they're working on that particular plan to deal with that matter. In terms of the patrol and research vessels, we have two patrol vessels underwater as we speak. We are still working on the repairs of the research vessel, the Africana, and we hope to have the vessel back at sea in the foreseeable future. What one can actually say is that everything is now in place to get our vessels back in operation. And we are just finishing up the final repair work, and then all our vessels should be at sea. But we have also explained to the portfolio committee on previous occasions that the Africana will only be able to function for another 5 years at best. And that's why Treasury and ourselves have engaged, and there is now a plan afoot to replace Africana in the coming, in the foreseeable future, because we now understand that we will not be able to have Africana for very long. So we need to replace Africana for our research purposes. We've been doing our research utilizing similar vessel, industry vessel to conduct the researches which were required to set the TACs, but we also utilize the BCC vessel, the Nansen, to also assist with the surveys. So that way we were able to continue with the surveys to ensure that we are able to set our TACs for the offshore sector. Yes, we agree there was an underspending as indicated by the aging. But as I also indicated, it was particularly because we had a problem with the vessels, and therefore we were able to spend that money. But I believe that we've asked for the possibility of that funds to be rolled over. Is that the right word, Lydia?
Yeah, it is accounted for as
earmark funds. That's the right word. And we hope to get Treasury to approve that. Then the Smith-Amandla investigation. There are three investigations underway, as we have heard from the AG yesterday, but it's still underway. There's no finality yet. We still await the outcome of those investigations. In terms of the AG report on page 16, that deals with a number of planned, it's different issues. One is the objectives, the other one is the indicators, and the other one will deal with the targets. And the last one is just basically saying that our performance indicators were not well-defined. Now, as our DG has mentioned, similar to what was happening with the department, we are also in the same process of taking note of what the AG has indicated to us. And we are applying the same corrective measures, and we hope to improve on this particular problem going forward. We had also an interaction with the AG, and we have discussed these issues with him, and we think we now are able to deal with the issues that have been raised by them. It's a matter of being in line with what is in section regulation 31.3G. It is the different components that you need to report on. And we also now have an M&E specialist to assist us as a fund to ensure that we are able to report accurately on those issues that we need to report on in terms of treasury regulations. So from our first court reports for this new financial year, we've had interactions, and after the second quarter, we will then also engage with the AG to understand whether we are on the right track as well. But we've taken note of the AG's comments, and we are applying the steps to correct it. Then in terms of the military veterans program, they were used as to assist with the anti poaching measures in the overbird. And that particular project has not come to an end. And my understanding is that we have engaged the Department of Defense and the military veterans, and they are coming up with a program where they're going to see how they can accommodate the military veterans within their programs, still allowing them to assist us in what our needs are. So we hope that they will then be applied to still assist with the anti-poaching measures. But their contract in terms of that particular process has come to an end. And we will see what we can do about the SEALs. We will bring you some report. We will request our scientists to give us a report on that, and we can provide that to the portfolio committee. I hope I've covered everything. If I've missed something, if you can maybe just indicate it to me.
Any further questions, members? Mama?
Thank you, Chester. Just a follow-up question on the issue of Harris. I just want to check if ever the agreement is already signed or not between Chinese and the South Africans.
You see, there are two issues, if not three, for me. On one hand, you have this fund through levies from the industry. And it is mentioned here that this fund supports, it says finances, the Marine Living Resource Fund finances the operations of the fisheries branch of the department. I know for a fact that you have another budget within the department outside of this fund. To an extent, you know, you continue to have this fund operating semi-autonomously within the department. That you have an office in Cape Town attests to me to that semi-autonomous. To an extent that you have your own communication unit within your Cape Town office. You have your own legal unit. And basically, you have your own administration, CFO. And granted, you have here a fund that has to account or that has to be accountable. To an extent, you find yourselves, and I would imagine, confused at times. A case in point here was when you had your own, I don't know whether you had been able to resolve it, your communication story. Whether the person would be accounting here in Cape Town or in Pretoria. It attests to me to this very issue. That by continuing not to have one department, it brings problems. And I don't see any willingness on the part of the department, because this is an issue that we've raised several times. We even had at one point a hearing on transformation. As a result, it's planning and planning and planning and planning. Granted, you have a new department, effectively, since 2009. But as you leave all of these entrenched cultures within these separate units that you have been able to bring together, they do not assist you in getting to be in a state of gelling, to have one department. Now, I don't know whether there is any will, unless you have your own views, and you probably must just be able to express them so that we hear your views, instead of simply just keeping quiet, as if we have said nothing. Now, it does not assist you, it does not assist us at the end in saying whether we do want to go or we are comfortable where we are. And we all know the entrenched cultures that are there. If you have to talk about forestry, you have a set of culture that is entrenched there with its own networks. And these are people who know each other out there at a social level. They get a mix. At the level of fisheries, you have another entrenched culture. And they mix together, they know each other, they socialize together. And that talks pretty much to non-willingness, if there is any English word like that, of the department of having to be able to come together and build one department. Because you don't want to tell me that there are forests in Pretoria. If the argument is to go by in saying, yeah, but there are no fish in Pretoria. There are no forests in Pretoria, equally. You find forests out there in Mpumalanga and KZN. If that is to be the argument, why don't you have a forestry branch there in Mpumalanga? You don't do that, but you do it with fisheries, and you consistently simply just wish us away on this one, as if we had said nothing. Now you are duplicating, even on ICT, the point is being made here in this report, that your ICT systems, they are not able, because you rely on the department's ICT. And you are supposed to have your own ICT. That's the intention written here. Now this poses a serious challenge. Once again, you are forever planning, granted the new department. But at some point, you are supposed to have long stopped planning and being on an implementation mode. But as things stand with regards to Marine Living Resource Fund, you are never going to stop planning. You are forever going to have all these challenges all the time within Marine Living Resource and within Marine Living and also the department. And the culture issue, you know, it transcends all over. I just thought I should make that point. Members, if there is no other issue, we shall allow the department to respond. Okay, thank you.
Chair, can I perhaps just provide an answer to the question of the agreement? We have made the necessary preparations. The presidency has been requested to grant the minister to sign the agreement during the ministerial meetings that is coming of the breaks towards the end of October. So, yes, we're preparing to sign that agreement. During the ministerial meeting that is coming. Perhaps on the issue on the integration, yes, we are not there, but there is a lot of movement of integrating, particularly the corporate services units, HR. Legal services, communication, all those units are operating, although they are operating from here, but they are being overseen also from Pretoria. We need to, and of course in a few cases, you'll be right to say you still have a director legal services here and a director in Pretoria. But both of them are reporting to the chief director, and the intention finally is in the next organizational review, those issues will be almost totally eliminated. But I think the concern of the committee is totally appreciated, and we believe with the leadership of the Director General, it will be taken forward and be totally addressed.
It's one of the projects that I will prioritize, Chair. I know that there's a lot of work that has been done around the integration, and you're absolutely right. I think that lack of coherence, I think it's rethinking the whole vision of the department and it being integrated and working towards the same purpose, because if the, even its structure is clumsy, but you don't tinker with the structure, structure follows the content. So I think it's re-clarifying and reaffirming that, that mandate again. But I mean, I don't believe that, that DAF has cohered as an integrated department. And so your observations about, because here you have what was it, land and agriculture and forestry came kicking and screaming from DAF, and fisheries from environment affairs, and only a component of fisheries that came. 80% of fisheries is still within with the environment. So, yeah, it will be a problem.
Are we fine?
Are we fine? You had a question, Mama Nyarungu? It's been responded to. Okay. Members, I think that should be it for now. And thanks for all the time and the tenacity. We shall meet again tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. Oh, yeah, tomorrow we have OBP and also...